In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
I think many of us have discovered that when the light is dim and shadows grow, our eyes can play tricks on us. I know I experienced this as a teenager where I grew up in San Diego County. There was abundant open space around our house. There were plenty of trails where we could hike and ride bikes and horses and motorcycles. And this one day when I was 17, I was walking our family dog on one of these trails near our home. The walk began in the late afternoon and continued into the early evening as it was becoming twilight dusk as I was returning. And it was in the shadow of twilight, I looked ahead on the trail that was leading home, and I saw a coiled rattlesnake ahead of me on the trail. And I wasn't so concerned in the first notice of this. This wasn't uncommon. No, it wasn't the first time I'd encountered a rattlesnake on a trail. They were kind of common around our house. It would be several times in the year you would see them. But my dog was off the leash, and he was running in that direction, and he wasn't responding to my calls, and I was concerned how the dog was going to respond when it got close to the rattlesnake. And I was calling him frantically and began calculating alternate routes in my mind, only to discover he came very close, darted straight for the snake, and came within inches. But when I noticed the snake didn't move, didn't flinch, didn't do anything, and the rattlesnake didn't begin to rattle, I began to question whether it really was a rattlesnake after all. And as I drew confidence in myself at that moment, I decided I would approach a little tentatively and get a little closer, and discovered it wasn't a rattlesnake at all. It was simply a branch and shadows that looked just like a rattlesnake. The shape of the head was just like a rattlesnake, the shape, the way everything was. And the branch wasn't even shaped like a rattlesnake. It was a combination of the branch and the shadows, the way they were. It really did look like a coiled rattlesnake to me. Well, imagine having that experience. I imagine how the disciples must have felt on the Sea of Galilee when they had that mysterious encounter with Jesus, when they thought their eyes must have be playing tricks on them, and they thought that they saw a ghost. It was the fourth watch of the night, which is sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So here they are battling against the wind and the waves, slowly sailing across the sea, and suddenly a mysterious figure appears on the water, a human figure. I mean, certainly, it's understandable why the disciples were terrified. They didn't know what they saw, and they concluded it surely was a ghost. Their eyes weren't playing tricks on them. In fact, it was Christ himself. They didn't recognize him because, let's be frank, the surface of the Sea of Galilee was not a common meeting place that Christ had with his disciples. Sure, they had a few conversations on the boat from here to there, but never on the water itself. They were witnessing something that they had not seen Christ do before. His walking on the water was off the radar, so to speak, of what they considered possible. And given the circumstances, we understand any of us would have been just as surprised, just as frightened as the disciples were. Given the circumstances, we understand why they thought Christ was even a ghost. Christ walking on the water defied their understanding of reality, of gravity. Christ walking on the water was an unusual thing. It was outside of what they considered familiar. And under the circumstances, in that context, how could they possibly recognize that it was Christ the Lord walking across the water towards them? A ghost was only the only explanation that they could come up with, and they were afraid. But this simple encounter on the water begins to change the disciples' view of Christ. He is much more than a good teacher. They're beginning to recognize he's even more than a holy prophet. What happens? They begin to recognize that Christ is more than mere man. He is the Lord himself incarnate in their midst. When Christ gets into the boat, we hear the concluding statement. They worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So clearly they were beginning to recognize he is God, not just a man. But it was these encounters, these mysterious and unusual and unfamiliar encounters with Christ that took these kinds of encounters for them to come to recognize who Christ truly was. There's an element in the gospel event today that is a picture ultimately of the Christian life itself. Because after all, none of us begin the journey of faith knowing entirely what the future holds. Following after Christ, none of us know every twist and turn of the road that is ahead. It is a journey of faith, and we must take steps by faith. There's no way around that, and there is a venture with Christ into the unknown. Christ inevitably leads us on that journey into unfamiliar places, things we have not experienced before, places we have not seen, things that are off the radar, so to speak, of what we consider possible and real. Christ inevitably leads us to those unfamiliar places to stretch us, to make us grow, to make us come to understand more of who He is, more of the depths of His love for us. He leads us to those places beyond our understanding and beyond our comfort zone. And in such times, when we venture into that unknown realm, we have to be careful not to label the experience as a ghost, as something that it is not. Because Christ Himself leads us to those places. Just because it is beyond us, just because it is unfamiliar to us, just because we might be a little bit scared because of the unfamiliarity of everything, we can't assume, just in that context of the negative that we are feeling, that there's no way that God can be part of this. Because in fact, it is Christ Himself sometimes who leads us to those places. In our fear, however, we are inclined to label it, as the disciples did, as a ghost, as something negative. That's what the disciples did, and that is what we do at times as well. At such times, we must, instead of labeling it, mislabeling it as something negative, we need to remember what the Apostle Peter said in that exchange and how he responded in that moment. What was his question? What was his call? It was, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you on the water." And there's great wisdom in that. We all recognize how easily we can be deceived. So it would be equally wrong for us to automatically assume that anything unusual is automatically God. No, there's a problem with that as well. That's going to the other extreme, and that's not what I'm suggesting this morning. That's the wisdom in Peter's question. We test. We question, we say, "Lord, if it is you, come to me, show me the way, make it clear to me, make the path straight for me, reveal yourself to me. This is appropriate, this is right." The scriptures warn us again and again that the enemy of our soul is a liar, that he's a deceiver, that he parades himself as an angel of light. So we must not be hasty in any of our decisions to conclude that it's a ghost or to conclude that by default it's automatically God because it's unusual. No, we have to pray, we have to question, we have to test our motives. We have to utilize the sacrament of confession. We have to seek the counsel of spiritual fatherhood. And if it is the Lord, He has a way of making that clear to us. If it is the Lord, He confirms that it is He Himself that is speaking to us. It is He Himself that is leading us. It is He Himself who is making Himself known in these moments that are unfamiliar. We certainly must not be hasty to dismiss that which is unfamiliar, concluding that just because it's unfamiliar, just because we're a little scared, it must be not God. No, the disciples thought that they saw a ghost, and in fact, it was the Lord Himself. And certainly our Lord Himself is the Prince of Peace, who promises us to experience His peace in our life. And the Holy Spirit is the great Comforter who comes to us and comforts us in our distress and in our sorrow. But just because the Lord of glory is the Prince of Peace, just because the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, does not mean we will never feel uncomfortable as Christ leads us on the journey of faith. Because there are those moments where our faith is tested, and it is a little uncomfortable when we venture into those unknown realms and our faith is tested. Our Lord is the Good Shepherd, and He leads us through all of the life experiences that are before us. He does lead us to the green pastures and the still waters, but likewise He leads us through that valley of the shadow of death. See, the disciples unexpectedly discovered Christ on the Sea of Galilee, and immediately they dismissed, "No, it can't be Christ, it must be a ghost." The thought that it would be Christ was completely beyond them. They wouldn't even consider that until Christ spoke to them. Christ does indeed lead us to those unfamiliar places. And Christ does call to us and seek to direct our lives and show us the path that we must walk. We don't always recognize him immediately, the first time he begins to reveal himself, the first time he begins to speak to us. We don't always recognize it at that. So we have to be careful in those moments to test and to ask and to question, Lord, if it is you. We don't want to dismiss the opportunity that might be before us, that it might be the Lord himself speaking to us and leading us. See, like Peter, we need to wisely ask, Lord, if it is you, show me the way. Reveal yourself. Make it clear to me. And then we take that step of faith, as Peter made, and we walk on the watery path of our life, drawing near to Christ. Let us willingly follow after Christ. And wherever he leads us, let us take those steps of faith toward him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.